If you're building a house, what's the most important thing you're going to put on the house? Yeah. One of the most important things you're going to put on the house. The gate. All right, so if you build a fence and there's no gate to get in and out, you're going to be in trouble. Right? You need a gate. And if you build a house, you need a door to get in. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about the narrow gate. And Pastor mentioned it a few times in his message, which you can't avoid it. You know? He can't avoid mentioning it in the series that he's doing. And a few of the other guys mentioned it, and I mentioned it too in one of my teachings. And so anyway, we're going to get started, you know. Just like a house in a fence, the gate into the kingdom is very important. Very important, and there's only one. So let's see what he says in the book of Matthew, chapter 13. We'll start there. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Here Yeshua speaks of the straight gate and the narrow way that leads to life versus the wide and broad gate that leads to destruction. What or who is the narrow gate? John 10:9, this is Jesus speaking. He says, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. John 14:6. Matthew 7:13. Yeah, I'm going to slow down a little bit. And now we're on John 14:6. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So there's only one way to the Father, and that's through the narrow gate, Yeshua. All right, now we're going to look at how narrow is the path. You know, he spells it out in the scripture for us, how narrow is the path, because it's real narrow, really narrow. And we went over these scriptures many a times. Me, myself, I didn't see this. Maybe you have, but we're going to go through them. Luke 9:57. How narrow is the path? As they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father. But he said to him, allow the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God. Another also said, I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say goodbye to those at home. But Jesus said to him, no one after putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. So you see, just that one section of scripture is starting to narrow. It's getting narrow, and we're not done. Matthew 10:35. He says, for I have came to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be the members of his household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life will lose it, and he who has lost his life for my sake will find it. Again, it's getting narrow and narrow. And notice something that Jesus is doing. He's just not inviting them into the kingdom. He's letting them know, look, this is what it's going to take. This is what it's going to take in order for you to make it in the kingdom. Mark 10:17. As he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up to him and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments: do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all things from my youth up." Looking at him, Jesus felt a love for him and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go and sell all you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come follow me." But at these words he was saddened, and he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. And Jesus, looking around, said to his disciples, "How hard will it be for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God?" Again, Jesus laid it out there. You know, he didn't invite him to get born again. He laid it out there and he let him decide. So as we see, it's very narrow. So let's take a look at the few who finds the gate. The few who finds the gate. Remember, Matthew 7:13, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it." We're going to take a look at that. Two things I want to point out here. Just because you find a gate does not mean you go through it. You know, and I was reminded of riding in a bayou. You know, there's plenty of bayous I found didn't exist. Well, I didn't go through every one of them once I found them. And it's the same thing here. You know, here's the scripture here in Luke 13:23. Jesus explains to us. "And someone said to him, 'Lord, are there just a few who are being saved?' And he said to them, 'Strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able." Why are they not able to? They're not willing to get rid of the baggage. There's plenty up here, but there's more. Whenever he lays it out, says this is what it's going to take, they choose not to. They found Yeshua, the gate, but didn't enter through. When someone wants to be born again, maybe we shouldn't be so quick to make that decision for them. Maybe we should sit down with that person to let them know what the cost will be before they say yes to something they don't know about. Yeshua did it. He explained to them, and he let them decide for themselves. Here's another scripture. Luke 14:25. "Now large crowds were going along with him, and he turned and said to them, 'If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it. Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish it, all who observe it begin to ridicule him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. So why would Yeshua do this? Why didn't he just invite him in and got him born again? And then explain this stuff to him. 2 Peter 2:21. He says, for it be better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it, to turn away from the holy commandment handed on to them. So he didn't want them to turn from it. He don't want that. But I think we should let them know what the cost will be, and they can determine for themselves if they are ready for that kind of commitment. That's what Yeshua did. You know, there's a timing for everything, even for folks being born again. There's a timing. And I believe that's what Jesus is trying to show us, because he used the illustration of somebody building a house. You know, he says, you know, why wouldn't you calculate the cost to make sure you had enough money to finish it instead of starting it and not finish it and people ridicule you? And it's the same thing born again. Why don't we talk to that person instead of just inviting as many people as we can in? Why don't we talk to that person and make sure they're ready? And we're not, you know, we're not talking about folks who was already born again. They already know. You got to repent. You know, if you went away from the hope and the faith, then you, whenever you come back, you repent. You already know. Tools for sharing the gospel of the kingdom. God puts us in different arenas to preach about the gospel of the kingdom. Our occupation, our circle of friends, our family, you know, sports, you know, that's for the parents and the kids in school, college. In our circle of people, in the playing of sports, the sitting in the stands, the job, and school, if we're not sharing the gospel of the kingdom, my question is, what are we sharing? You know, God puts us in different arenas for a reason. We're not there just to be there. We're there to share the gospel of the kingdom. That's our job. We've been commissioned to do that. You know, one of the things I noticed going through this study is, you know, I wrote it down here, and you know, we don't enter through the gate, the narrow gate, holding hands with each other. You know, we do it as individuals. But yet, the world's way is different. Yet the world teaches us we go through the wide gate. When we go through the wide gate, we can all hold hands and enter in. Which is true. The wide gate, they can hold hands. They got folks protesting all kind of crazy stuff. They holding hands, just walking right through the wide gate. You know, they all in. They committed. We shouldn't point people to Yeshua. We should point people to Yeshua and not our pastor, a church, Bible college, or any person, but to Yeshua alone, because he is the narrow gate. And look, I've done that many a times. And look, I respect my pastor. The only guy I respect more than him is my dad. But there's times where I told him, man, you got to hook up with our church. You got to hook up with my pastor. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. Not even close. But I did it. We to hook him up with Yeshua, the narrow gate. The sad thing about this is that the church took the same approach as the world. They can hold hands and walk in together. Many choose to reject teachings that say there is only one way to know God and therefore miss this narrow gate. Is it too difficult? Now, this is something I brought up for the last Torah portion I did, you know, because we're taught that it's difficult. Well, we're going to look at the scripture again. Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. According to the scripture, it's not hard. I believe we make it hard. Do you remember the first time you was born again? I remember the first time. It was incredible. I mean, it was awesome because it felt like this big old weight was lifted off of you. And it was like, man, I'm alive. Finally, I'm alive. Or maybe you was just coming back to the faith, you know, to the hope. But you remember that feeling. I mean, you can't mistake this feeling for anything else because it was, I'm telling you, it was awesome. It was like this big old weight was lifted off of you. Yeah. And I remember this too. I didn't miss church. I remember. I didn't miss church. Matter of fact, and you know this to be true, they didn't have enough church services in a week for me at that time. Remember, I mean, we was pumped up, right? We was ready to go. We was pumped up. But what happened? This is what happened. We went back for that stuff. It wasn't long we went back for it. And we started to grab onto it again. Because that stuff's not, we can't take it, and it's not welcome in a narrow path. But we went back for the stuff, and it started to weigh us down again. And before you knew it, we didn't want to go to church no more. We was forcing ourselves to go to church, at best. It was us. It was me. I went back for the stuff. And you know what's the crazy thing? The same stuff I was so excited about leaving and putting down, the same stuff, I went right back for it. Right back for it. It's difficult because we make it difficult. If it's difficult to us, it's because we make it difficult. It's a narrow path because God didn't leave any room for any gospel. One way to Him, Yeshua, the narrow gate. So the reason, you know, that there's a reason why the gate's narrow. Because it has no room for nothing else. No other gospel, but yet we try to put other gospels in there. But I can tell you what, the other gospels is not in a narrow path. It's in a wide one. It has to be because nothing could fit in there. That's it. One gospel. Nothing else can fit in there. So it can't be in a narrow gate. There's no way. So if it's not in a narrow gate, where is it? In the wide. You're either for Him or you're against Him. It's in a wide gate. So if you hear another gospel preach, trust me, it ain't the same gospel that we following. Because we're going down a narrow path. Many will refuse to accept this free gift of eternal life. As a result, choosing the wide gate world system that seems easy at the time, yet leads to destruction. It seems easier. But we know, because we were there, and it was hard, and we were so glad that the weight came off. We was pumped up. We was ready to go. The world will continue to put pressure on you until you lose control and turn to drugs, alcohol, money, sex, materialistic things, people, prescription drugs, churches, Bible colleges, and ministries instead of Yeshua, the narrow gate. We'll turn all them things out in churches, Bible, we'll turn all of them things instead of Yeshua, the narrow gate. You remember, I remember there's times I went to restaurants, and sometimes it was my first visit. Sometimes I've been there many times, but I looked at the menu. Man, it had so much stuff on the menu. I'm like, man, I don't know what to decide. You know, I don't know what I'm going to eat. And then, you know, the lady comes, and do y'all need, y'all ready? Oh, you need more? No, I need more time. You know, she walks off, and everybody's ready, and I'm still trying to decide. And then she comes back. And she's like, you ready? And I'm like, no, I'm not ready. You know, I don't tell her that. I'm really not ready. But I say, yeah, y'all go ahead first. And by the time she comes to me, I mean, the closer she gets, the more pressure's put on me to find, because I don't want to be left out, right? I want something to eat, too. All right. In other words, you're pressured into making a choice so you'll have something to eat. I mean, right? You don't want everybody else eating and you're not. All right, too many choices. That's the world system. And it's hard. It's hard. It's difficult. What about going to Raising Cane's? I like when we go there. I know what to get, right? You get chicken. You're going to order chicken. It's easy. What about Papa John's pizza? I'm ordering pizza. I don't have to sit there and look at the menu and get pressured into making a decision. I'm getting pizza. You know whose way that is? That's Yeshua's way. It's easy. The narrow gate. We got one decision. That's it. One gospel. That's it. It's easy. The world system is hard. They pressure you into making a decision so you don't feel left out. And whenever you make that decision, I can promise you, it won't be the right one. You know how many times I was pressured into that decision and I got the wrong stuff? I learned my lesson over the years, but I got the wrong stuff quite a few times because I'm not a sauce guy. And it looks good on the menu, but whenever I get it, they got all them sauces on it. I'm done right there. There's only one way to eternal life, and that's through Yeshua, the narrow gate. Everything we're involved in should be an extension of us following the narrow path down to the very details of our life. Everything, it should be an extension. That the narrow path should be first and foremost, and everything else is an extension. And if we do that, our life will change. And some of us may be. I'm not assuming, you know, you're not. Thus, to be on a narrow road, we must be narrow-minded. yet we're taught to be open-minded by the world. Open-minded about what? About all their philosophies and denominations and all that crazy nonsense out there. Whenever it's one path, it's a narrow path, and there's only one way. And that's the gospel of the kingdom. That's it. There is. There's no other way. They can say what they want, do what they want. We know that there's one way because we study the scripture. And we look at it for ourselves. That's how we know. Well, anybody has any questions or comments or anything? Everybody's good? Yeah? That was quick, man. And whenever I first started, I had 16 pages. I should have stood with that. Last time I done that, though, I feel like I share what the Lord put on my heart, so I feel good about it. And thank y'all for coming out. And it encourages me whenever I see folks come out to listen to me. It really does. So I appreciate y'all. And remember, till next time, Yahweh's plans for y'all are better than your plans.